Welcome to The Drive. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. I was challenged recently on my drive to Stillwater when I was listening to an episode of Freakonomics, and they were talking about different ways that the Freakonomics podcast had influenced people or maybe changed a habit or led them to a complete change in lifestyle. And one of the things that happened was that there was a gentleman who ended up listening to an episode and decided that he wanted to donate his kidney for no reason and to no single person. He had two healthy kidneys. Nobody in his family needed one. He's an older gentleman. He signed up to do it, and so he did. And his donation saved a woman's life, a woman who lived in Colorado, nowhere near his geographic location in the United States. And they had never even met. He just wanted to help somebody out. And this woman who received the kidney was a new mom. She started developing kidney issues right after the birth of one of her children. And she just, her health just declined rapidly. And this kidney, it saved her life. And it got me to thinking, you know, in our organ transplant system, I'm not super familiar with this. Like, I don't know it top and bottom. I don't know all the ins and outs. I don't know all the details. But here's what I do know. I know that there are more people needing organs than people who are donating organs. Okay? And I know that with kidneys, what I understand from kind of what they were talking about in this episode of Freakonomics and kind of what we know about human anatomy is that you really only need one kidney to survive. You just need the one. And if you've got the one kidney, you're okay. So if there's a large number of people who need a kidney, what can we do to kind of meet that need? And this guy that they were interviewing on Freakonomics, it was interesting because he said one random person who decides they want to donate a kidney can make a difference with up to 48 other people. So in other words, when the one random person who doesn't have a specific desire to donate to a specific person, in other words, like for example, if my brother needed a kidney and I donated mine, that's me donating to a specific individual, okay? And so I'm donating my one kidney to my one brother, and that's it. But what he was saying was that if somebody just donates and puts their kidney into the system, then that can have an impact on 48 other lives. In other words, it can set up a chain reaction that reaches 48 other people, and those 48 people then can receive their kidneys. And so this is interesting because I think a lot of times, after kind of thinking about this, I think our education system is set up kind of in a similar way. There's a tremendous need for a lot of things. And it's always been done a certain way. Like the organ transplant system has been organized and it's been done this one particular way. There's, you know, I don't know if there's a better way. I'm not medically trained, but what if there is? And that's what this gentleman is saying. You know, what if we make it where it's a good thing and people want to donate a spare kidney, since we have two, to help somebody out that they don't even know. If you take a teacher from the single classroom of the 1880s that taught all the students, and you put them into the classroom of today, I bet that teacher would recognize a lot of things and find a lot of similarities. Yes, cell phones and overhead projectors and things like that are brand new, but in a lot of cases, the teacher is still standing in front of the classroom and is still delivering the instruction. And My question is, yeah, we've always done it that way. Is it the best way? Yeah, it's important to teach that way, but could we create some sort of chain in education which has the sort of impact that can make a difference? In other words, what can we do? What change can we make that we can go in and have an impact on our education? And maybe it's part of that single classroom environment. But with technology that's out there, with the different interactive activities that are available, with all the different things that have been created since the late 1880s, is there something that we could do that would create that chain? And I don't know exactly how that would look. Like, I'm still trying to get my own mind around it because it's a challenging thought. But for example, schools in Oklahoma and in Kansas, where the two states that I've taught in, are funded very similarly, where they get a majority of the funding from the state, and then the local funding comes in and picks up slack. And the problem is sometimes you wind up in a situation where one community has a lot of property tax value and chooses and has the income that they can not necessarily choose, but are okay with having a higher property tax. Other communities have very low property taxes or are in a situation where their income is so tight that any increase at all in the property tax is potentially a horrible domino effect. So, you know, maybe one chain is to rethink our entire funding strategy for schools. You know, schools are expensive, and I get that. And there's a lot of people that don't want to pay taxes, and I get that. But what if we could just look at it differently? What if there was a better way? What if there was something that was more equitable? And I'm not saying that everything has to be the exact equal thing all the way across the board. I'm just saying equitable all the way across the board. We tried the whole separate but equal thing in the United States in the 50s and 60s, and it didn't work. Separate was not equal. Separate was unequal, and very tragically so. Is there a way that we can eliminate some of those things that are creeping back into our educational system now? Could that be a chain that we could alter that could have impacts on lives that we don't even know about because we don't see it? And so that's just one thought. What if we altered our school day in such a way that with families that are working families, a lot of homes are single parent homes, and a lot of homes are two parent homes where both parents working. What if we reorganize the school day to resemble a work day? In other words, you don't have to pay the before and after child care if you have to go to work early or stay a little late, and there's some flexibility. Like maybe we could drop students off at 8:45, 9:30 instead of drop students off at 8. What if the school day didn't end at 3, but it ended at 5:36 or 7, depending on the parent's work schedule? How different would that be, and could that work? Would the teachers want that flexibility of, like, say, working the early shift or the late shift, or you know, students kind of coming in and out during the day? What if we looked at that? I mean, could that be a catalyst that creates a change in a way of making different chains in our educational system? And I don't know what the right answer is. I'm just tossing ideas out. Sometimes we get so tied into one way of doing it that we forget that small changes can have huge impacts across the way. And so I look at the kidney donation situation. One person just giving that kidney has such a huge impact for other people who didn't even know it was coming. And so what if we were able to do that in education in some fashion? I know in Edmond, they have the Edmond Public Schools Foundation, and it is an excellent foundation. A lot of school districts have these, and you can apply for some grants and some funds to do really cool things in your classroom, and it's very competitive, very competitive. But they award that money for teachers to be innovative, to try new things, to do different things. What if there wasn't a foundation per school district that did that? But what if there's a foundation that you could apply for, and if you could show that your idea had some merit, you could get the funding to do that just in general, where it was equitable all the way across the state, not just because I live in Edmond, I have access to these funds if I choose to access them, but because I live in Oklahoma, I have access to these funds because I choose to access them. I just think it's something to think about. We get so caught up in all these different things in education, you know, testing or not testing, or you know, vouchers or no vouchers, and these Common Core versus not Common Core. These things bring such heated strong debates, and I'm not talking necessarily about something like this, but I'm saying, what can we do that's different? What can we do that modernizes education? What can we do that brings education forward? What change can we make that goes so deep in the system that it just rattles the foundations, and when we come out the other side, there's such a positive impact from it. Sometimes those chains are money. I mean, there's no two ways about it. Technology is expensive. People are expensive. You know, it's an investment, and that's a challenge for some people to get around. But that's not the only thing. There are other things, some freedoms to explore, some freedoms to change up the school day. Some of those things could also come in handy. So I just wonder if, you know, we could think about some of those things. You know, could some of those changes be positive? And so that's a conversation to have. And it's quite possible that none of the ideas I've shared would ever work in real life. But what if they did? What if something worked and made a huge impact in a community, in a school, and it was better for everybody? What if? So that's my challenge to you today. I know it's just crazy sometimes these educational things that we're living through, and some of it is so fascinating, and some of it is so fun, and some of it is so stressful. And every day I wake up and I'm glad I do what I do. I'm glad I've got the experiences I've got, and I am thankful for people who've poured into me. And if you're listening to this, you've poured into me, whether you realize it or not. You've started a chain, and that chain is still building, and we'll see how deep it goes, okay? But if you've interacted with me on social media, you've poured into me. If you're in a Voxer group with me, you've poured into me. You know, if we've bumped into a conference and you asked a question and we were able to have a chat about it, you've poured into me. And I thank you for that. And you've built chains. You've built chains of change. You've built chains of awesomeness. And they're in me right now. And they're being created, and they're going deep. And so I'm telling you, I'm living proof that you can do things a little differently and be okay. And we can talk about that. And if you want more information, you just ask me. I totally messed up my classroom. It would not have looked like the 1880s. And those chains are there, and they can make a difference. And so let's create a chain in education. Let's create a chain of awesome in education. Let's create a chain of cool and amazing and wonderful. And let's share those chains with each other, because every community can use those. Every community can benefit from those. Thank you so much for listening today. I hope you enjoy the drive. And as always, be brilliant.